1986. Section 3.3, Recovery of Debris. In the first minutes after the accident, recovery efforts were begun by NASA's Launch Recovery Director, who ordered the ships used by NASA for recovery of the solid rocket boosters to be sent to the location of the water impact. Search and rescue aircraft were also dispatched. At this stage, however, debris was still falling, and the range safety officer held both aircraft and ships out of the impact area until it was safe for them to enter. It was about an hour until the range safety officer allowed the recovery forces to begin their work. The search and rescue operations, which took place in the first week after the Challenger accident, were managed by the Department of Defense on behalf of NASA, with assistance from the United States Coast Guard, and mostly involved surface searches. According to the Coast Guard, quote, "the operation was the largest surface search in which they had participated." Unquote. This phase of operations lasted until February 7th. Thereafter, recovery efforts were managed by Search, Recovery, and Reconstruction Team. Its aim was to salvage debris that would help in determining the cause of the accident. Sonar, divers, remotely operated submersibles, and manned submersibles were all used during the search, which covered an area of 480 square nautical miles and took place at a depth of up to 1,200 feet. By May 1st, enough of the right solid rocket booster had been recovered to determine the original cause of the accident, and the major salvage operations were concluded. While some shallow water recovery efforts continued, this was unconnected with the accident investigation. It aimed to recover debris for use in NASA's studies of the properties of materials used in spacecraft and launch vehicles. Onboard Challenger was an American flag, dubbed the Challenger flag, that was sponsored by Boy Scout Troop 514 of Monument, Colorado. It was recovered intact, still sealed in its cargo bag. Debris from Challenger washed up on Florida beaches for years after the incident. On December 17, 1996, 10 years after the incident, two large pieces of the shuttle were found at Cocoa Beach. Section 4. Rogers Commission Investigation. The Presidential Commission on the Space Shuttle Challenger Accident, also known as the Rogers Commission, after its chairman, was formed to investigate the disaster. The commission members were Chairman William P. Rogers, Vice Chairman Neil Armstrong, David Akison, Eugene Covert, Richard Feynman, Robert Hotz, Donald Katina, Sally Ride, Robert Rummel, Joseph Sutter, Arthur Walker, Albert Whelan, and Chuck Yeager. The commission worked for several months and published a report of its findings. It found that the Challenger accident was caused by a failure in the O-rings sealing a joint on the right solid rocket booster, which allowed pressurized hot gases and eventually flames to blow by the O-ring and make contact with the adjacent external tank, causing structural failure. The failure of the O-rings was attributed to a design flaw, whose performance could be too easily compromised by factors including low temperature on the day of the launch. One of the Commission's most well-known members was the theoretical physicist Richard Feynman. During a televised hearing, he famously demonstrated how the O-rings became less resilient and subject to seal failure at ice-cold temperatures by immersing a sample of the material in a glass of ice water. He was so critical of flaws in NASA's safety culture that he threatened to remove his name from the report unless it included his personal observations on the reliability of the shuttle, which appeared as Appendix F. In the appendix, he argued that the estimates of reliability offered by NASA management were wildly unrealistic, differing as much as a thousandfold from the estimates of working engineers. Quote, "For a successful technology," he concluded, "reality must take precedence over public relations, for nature cannot be fooled." Unquote. Section 4.1, Rooted in History. More broadly, the report also considered the contributing causes of the accident. Most salient was the failure of both NASA and its contractor, Martin Thiokol, to respond adequately to the design flaw. This led the Rogers Commission to conclude that the Challenger disaster was an accident rooted in history. As originally designed by Thiokol, the joint was supposed to close more tightly due to the force generated at ignition. However, a 1977 test showed that when pressurized water was used to simulate the effects of booster combustion, the metal parts bent away from each other, opening a gap through which gases could leak. This phenomenon, known as joint rotation, caused a momentary drop in air pressure. This made it possible for combustion gases to erode the O-rings. In the event of widespread erosion, an actual flame path could develop, causing the joint to burst, which would have destroyed the booster and the shuttle. Engineers at the Marshall Space Flight Center wrote the manager of the Solid Rocket Booster Project, George Hardy, on several occasions suggesting that Thiokol's field joint design was unacceptable. For example, one engineer suggested that joint rotation would render the secondary O-ring useless. However, Hardy did not forward these memos to Thiokol, and the field joints were accepted for flight in 1980. Evidence of serious O-ring erosion was present as early as the second space shuttle mission, STS-2, which was flown by Columbia. However, contrary to NASA regulations, the Marshall Center did not report this problem to senior management at NASA, but opted to keep the problem within their reporting channels with Thiokol. Even after the O-rings were redesignated as critically won, meaning that their failure would result in the destruction of the orbiter, no one at Marshall suggested that the shuttles be grounded until the flaw could be fixed. By 1985, Marshall and Thiokol realized that they had a potentially catastrophic problem on their hands. They began the process of redesigning the joint with 3 inches of additional steel around the tang. This tang would grip the inner face of the joint and prevent it from rotating. However, they did not call for the halt to shuttle flights until the joints could be redesigned. Rather, they treated the problem as an acceptable flight risk. For example, Lawrence Molloy, Marshall's manager for the Solid Rocket Booster Project since 1982, issued and waived launch constraints for 6 consecutive flights. Thiokol even went as far as to persuade NASA to declare the O-ring problem closed. Katina likened this situation to an airline permitting one of its planes to continue to fly despite evidence that one of its wings was about to fall off. Section 4.2, The Decision-Making Process. The report also strongly criticized the decision-making process that led to the launch of Challenger, saying that it was seriously flawed. The report cited evidence that NASA managers did not know of Thiokol's initial concerns about the effects of the cold on the O-rings, and did not understand that Rockwell viewed the large amount of ice present on the pad as a constraint to launch. Quote, "Failure in communication resulted in a decision to launch 51L based on incomplete and sometimes misleading information, a conflict between engineering data and management judgment, and a NASA management structure that permitted internal flight safety problems to bypass key shuttle managers.